every heart today would be touched by the power of your Holy Spirit. God, it's my prayer, Lord, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, as we come into this time of the Scripture, the Word of God, I pray that in this heaven to earth connection, God, that your Holy Spirit would just touch, deliver, and minister in a very special way. Lord, no one's here by chance. Lord, but the divine unction of your Holy Spirit, every person is here today to receive a word of revelation and understanding. God, a word of knowledge. God, in their life, so that, God, they can be strengthened, encouraged, and equipped, God, for the cause of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, illuminate the word of God to our spirit today, that you would infuse it with the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would minister healing in the name of Jesus, for your glory, for your honor, and your praise. And we'll give you that all in the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. One more time to this praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord this morning. Thank you, Brother Stan. Thank you, musicians. And I just want to move right into it. Everywhere you look, everything you hear is about conforming, trying to polarize everybody to a common view of the world, one world view, and a common view of God, one way to get to God. That, you know, they're one God, one religion, one world religion. And society today is telling us, well, there are many ways you can get to God, but we're all searching for the same thing. Wrong. Wrong. There's another cup of Kool-Aid for us to drink. Amen. That's right. What do we expect? What do we expect the devil to do? You know, someone forgot the scripture that said we have an adversary, the devil. Somebody forgot 1 Peter 5:8. For your adversary, the devil. For your adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I think someone may have forgotten that scripture.
No, I know we can't.
You have an adversary.
Maybe once.
When in 1990.
And he's trying to destroy your life. And my life. He's a liar. He's a loser. And he's a lunatic. Amen. But he thinks that he can create this mentality in America and even in the church that somehow we're supposed to be worldly to be relevant. Wrong. What the world needs is Jesus Christ.
Yes, amen. Amen.
That's who we're to show. We're to show the world Jesus in a real way with flesh and love. We're to show the world the real Jesus by loving them unconditionally. No matter what they've done, no matter how they look, no matter how they dress, no matter what afflictions they have, no matter what addictions they've had, we are to love the world. We're to love people, and we're to love them to Christ. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. I want to say God has not called us to conformity to win the world, but he has called us to love. Love unconditionally. We are surrounded by the conformable. And then the last thing that comes to my mind as I'm thinking about this is that we are satisfied with the controllable. We have succumbed to the comfortable. We have surrendered to the critical. We have been surrounded by the conformable. But we have become satisfied with the controllable. I know there may be one or two control freaks in this room this morning.
Pastor.
Amen.
Did he say that?
Amen. You know who you are.
Himself.
Oh.
You like things, you like to control it. You like it to go your way.
I can't find the graphic. Good graphic on the website.
But we become... We're satisfied with what we can control. Can I tell you, in the early church, hear me, in the early church, they were out of control. The thing that distinguished the early church, the church in the book of Acts, from the church today, is that they were out of control. They didn't know what they were doing. But they were filled. with the Holy Spirit of God. They have the anointing of God on their life. They hear that the gospel as a treasure, and they preach Jesus Christ, Him crucified, risen again, and coming for those who look for it. They preach a gospel, and they held it. They held it as if it was the greatest treasure that they had ever been given. That was the difference. Hey, listen, the Lord is calling us. The Lord is calling us, amen, to remember. He said, remember in Isaiah 43:18, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. It shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. In other words, God said, I'm going to do some supernatural things. Amen. I'm going to make a road in the wilderness, and I'm going to make a stream, a river in the desert. I'm going to do some supernatural things. And I believe 2018 holds some supernatural things in the kingdom of God. I believe God's up to something. It's the question is not, is God up to something? It's, are we up to? Are we up to what God is doing? Are we willing to, or are we wanting to be satisfied with what we can control? I want to challenge you this morning. It wouldn't hurt any of us in this room to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives in such a way that we lose control. I'm not talking about some kind of spiritual wildfire or people just being irrelevant and ignorant to the order of the gospel. But what I am saying is this. We have become too controlled in the church.
We had everything set up. Was ready.
I understand the scripture says that everything should be done decently and in order. But if our order, amen, if our order and our rigidity become so much that the Holy Spirit doesn't have room to move, we're in the wrong business. I say, we're in the wrong business. Amen. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to move in us. We wouldn't hurt any of us to once in a while be out of control. We try to control the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, you can't contain him. You either let it move or he doesn't. I said, we either let it move or he doesn't. I can't control the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the wind. As the Spirit is, as the wind bloweth where it listeth. You can't see it. You can't control it. I said, you can't contain it. The Holy Spirit is greater than all of that. I can't control it. Amen. But what we have done, we have come to the place where we have been satisfied with the things that we can't control. I want to challenge you. Get out of control. Quit trying to control everything. Quit trying to orchestrate God. Let God be God. There's a scripture in the book of Psalms that says, be still and know that I am God. For I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted among the people. Be still and know that I am God. That phrase, be still, means to get down. If you look it up in the original Hebrew, it says get down. It says, get down, let God be God. Get off the throne, get off the seat, get off the control seat of your life, and let the Holy Spirit gain control.
Prior commitment. Call me 2 days before.
Time for some of us to relinquish the seat.
I don't think so.
The throne of control, that's God. We've been driving too long. I said we've been driving too long. We've been orchestrating things too long. We've been controlling things too long. We've been in church long enough that we know how it goes. So we just kind of control it. Amen.
And
if it gets too out of hand, we'll just things get a little shaky for us. We just reserve ourselves and we step back. I want to tell you, amen. Wonder what it would be like if every one of us in this room allowed the Holy Spirit to do everything He wanted to do in our lives. You see, we've got to let him out of the box. We've got to let him out of that spiritual box that we have put him in. God can't be contained. I say God can't be contained. Amen. In a spiritual box that I created. But he's God. Amen. Let's let God be God. But let me move on.
We've got to get over this board. It's going to be good.
But our God is a God that is moving and proceeding forward.
You said like 4 or 5 different
sentences.
A lot of people.
Jesus sent the disciples to this little village. It's not even a town, it's a village. In the, between the crossroads. The crossroads that leads from Jerusalem, the road that leads from Jerusalem to Bethany, and then on to Bethlehem. This road from Jericho comes in and intersects just outside the city of Bethany. And in that little corner, in that little place, is this little village called Bethphage. So the word Bethphage is an interesting word. It means the house of unripe figs. The house of unripe figs. Matter of fact, this is the same place where before Jesus had cursed the fig tree because it would not bear figs. The place of barrenness is only there to remind us of the provision of God for our future and our fruitfulness. So let's apply this today to our lives. Well, Pastor, you share these things, but apply it to my life today. Well, here it is. I believe that we are in a place where two roads come together. It's a church. The road of our past, the road of our history, the road of our experiences, and the road to our destiny.
That's neat.
We're at the crossroads, and our prayer must be that God will unite us to move from the place of the in-between, that His mantle of anointing, His mantle of courage and compassion and bravery will move us to climb on the back of unwritten opportunities and ride to our destiny. So here's the challenge, church. Let's ride. Let's ride. Let's get on the Jesus climbed on the back of that little donkey. Amen. That colt. Amen. Understanding that he was riding to his destiny. But his destiny, amen, was your salvation. Praise God. Hallelujah. And my salvation. But are we going to ride to our destiny this morning? Or are we going to stay, amen, in the crossroads? Are we going to be stayed, amen, in the past? But here's the principle. The principle is so clearly illustrated in the life of a young woman. A young woman by the name, her name, Hadassah. The name Hadassah means fertile tree in the Hebrew language. A tree that grows in high places. Everybody say high places. This is so illustrated in this young woman's life. Her name Hadassah, myrtle tree. A tree that is placed in high places. And so was her life. She was given the name. Later she would be given the name Esther. The word Esther in Hebrew means star. When she became queen, she was given the name Esther. Esther was lifted out of obscurity and set on a high place in the palace of the king. She was literally the myrtle tree. The scripture says in Esther chapter 2, verse 5, now in Shushan the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimeah, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away with Jeconiah, the king of Judah, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maiden was fair and beautiful, and Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took her for his own daughter. So, came to pass, now listen, I'm almost ready to close. Matter of fact, the musicians will make their way back to the platform. So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together from the palace, Shushan the palace, to the cousin Haman, he died. And Esther was brought also into the king's house to the custody of Hegai, keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her things for purification, with such things as belonged to her and seven maidens, which were meet to be given her out of the king's house, and he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. Here Esther, this Hebrew girl, Hadassah, in obscurity. Amen. But she was lifted into a high place. She was placed in the king's palace, and for 1 year, she went through a time of preparation. For 1 year, she bathed daily in the most aromatic spices, and the most aromatic potions that you could imagine. no expense spared, because there was a plan. Because you see, the king had banished the queen prior to this story. Prior to what I read to you, Queen Vashti had been banished by the king. She refused to appear before the people. The Bible says that the search went out for a new queen. Hadassah, this little Hebrew girl, a nobody from nowhere. Yeah. Amen. A young girl who was in the north, and she came, and her uncle brought her there, Mordecai. Amen. And she came there. And the Bible says that for this year, she went through preparation. She found favor with Haggai, the king's keeper. She found favor with him. She was favored among all the other young ladies that had come in to the palace. Amen. There were literally probably dozens of these young women that had come in to prepare, because the king was going to one day soon make a choice. The Bible says she began to prepare. And for a whole year, she bathed in these ointments and spices. You can imagine the aroma in the palace during that year, with all of these maidens preparing themselves to meet the king. And then they came. The day came, amen, that she met the king, and she pleased him, because what she had done, she had went to the chamberlain, and she had asked the chamberlain this question. I talked about getting out of control, being comfortable with the things that we can control. When she was approached by the keeper as to what she desired, she was able to pick any dress, no expense spared, any kind of jewelry, any kind of finery that you can imagine she had it at her disposal for this preparation time. But she went to the chamberlain, and she said to the chamberlain this: what does the king like? What does the king want? What does the king desire? This isn't about, by the way, this is about the queen and what the king is looking for. And what does the king like? Not what do I like. Sure, I like the color blue, and I like this kind of jewelry, and I like this and this. But what's the king's favorite color? What kind of jewelry does the king like? And she went through this process of finding out what the king desires. And sure enough, when she came before the king, she found favor. But then things move on and things change. I'm talking about getting on the donkey. I'm talking about riding to your destiny. But listen, chapter 4, something happened. The Bible says Mordecai commanded to answer Esther: think not with thyself that thou shalt escape into the king's house more than all the Jews. For if you altogether hold your peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Because an edict had been signed by the king, sealed by the king, written by a man, evil man, by the name of Haman, who hated Mordecai, who hated the Jews, to destroy all the Jews in the Palestine. But the Bible says that God began to speak to the heart of Mordecai. And he came to Esther. And he says these words to Esther. And then her reply is this: go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan. Fast for me. And neither eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go into the king, which is not according to the law. And yet I perish. Here's the point. She became the star. She became the star that she was destined to be, but not before she was willing to sacrifice her life for her people. The Bible says that she became the star. And then I go to the last scripture. It's chapter 8, verse 1. Esther chapter 8, verse 1 and verse 2. Listen, on that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, unto Esther the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. And the king took off his ring. Now look what's happening. And that he had taken from Haman and gave it unto Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. Here's the question today to us, I believe, that's posed to us from this message: where two roads, a place where two roads meet. Are you ready to ride? Are we ready to move out from this place of comfortability? Are we ready to move out from this place where we've been for a while? If you stay there long enough, you'll get stuck. And if you're stuck long enough, you won't want to move. Esther was a queen. She could have been stuck there. She was the queen. Nothing would have changed. She would have stayed the queen. She would have been blessed as the queen. But it was not her destiny. Are you hearing me? Being the queen was not Esther's destiny. Being the savior of her people was her destiny. We can be satisfied where we are, or we can say, God, I know you've got a destiny for me out there, and I'm ready to ride. Like Jesus, I'm ready to get on the pack, amen, ride the colt of endless opportunity and the future destiny that you have for me. Or we can just sit and settle in our path. I want to challenge you this morning. She became the star that she was destined to be. The scripture says, arise and shine, for light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Are you ready to rise? Are you ready to become the star you were destined to be? Oh, I know many of you in here that I know you're not where you're destined to be. I know you're not where you're destined to be. I know that God has a plan and a purpose for you. And God has a destiny for you. And you may feel like you're stuck where you are, but I'm going to tell you all you have to do, because there's something called grace. All you have to do is get on the donkey and ride. All you have to do is say, God, I'm willing with your grace and power in my life. I'm willing to fulfill the destiny that you have for me. You've been stuck for a while. You've been sitting at the crossroads. You've been at the crossroads of past blessing, past experience. Listen, in the 21st century church, we have got to get away from this thing that we've done for years and years and years and years, as long as I've been in the church. And that's him trying to recreate something that happened last year. For something that happened, trying to recreate something that happened in 1956 in the church, or 1976, or something that happened in 86. We don't need to recreate anything, because we serve a God who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think, according to the future of His glory and the power that works in Him. God doesn't want to recreate a past blessing. He wants to by far better it in your life. He doesn't want you to ride the old donkey. He doesn't want you to ride the old mare. I said that because that was the donkey's mother. He doesn't want us to ride the old mare. That just represents our past. Quit trying to recreate some past experience in your life. Quit trying to recreate a past feeling. We're not feeling junkies. We serve a living God. We serve a living God. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit of our eternal Father residing in us. We don't have to recreate anything, because it's new, Sister Collier. It's fresh and it's powerful every day. How many of you would like to drink coffee that you had from 6 months ago? How many of you would like to eat the chicken sandwich you had 5 months ago?
Not so much, Pastor.
Stay with me here. How many of us in this room would like to sit down at the plate of food that we had 4 weeks ago? Listen, I'm talking about the same piece of chicken, the same corn, the same broccoli, with the same glass of milk. How many of us would want to sit down to that? Then here's my question. Why are we trying to recreate that same old things in our spiritual life? When God has something fresh, powerful, new, ready for us. We don't need to recreate the church of 1986. I'm going to tell you, I serve a progressive God. I serve a God who can make the church just as powerful and relevant today as he did in 1984 or 1974. It doesn't matter. The hope that the Holy Spirit looks on us. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is trying to get us out of this, away from this crossroads. He's really trying to get us away from him. From being settled and comfortable. Now I'm going to ask a question that's going to be strong. Now, I'm not sure you want to answer it, but I'm going to ask it anyway. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask myself the same question. Are you at any place different in your spiritual life? Some of you might want to hold on to the back of that seat for a minute. Are you at any place different in your spiritual life than you were 6 months ago? Are you in any place different in your spiritual life than you were a year ago? Here's why I ask. Because the mentality of the church is we're still trying to go back there somehow. We're trying to recreate that. And then we're trying to take this generation Z, which is the generation coming up. It's now being born. We're trying to take that. We're trying to take that meal that was prepared a year ago, 6 years ago, 20 years ago, and we're trying to stuff it down the throat. We're trying to feed it to this new generation. Guess what? They're not having it. Millennials aren't having it. Millennials don't want that. Besides that, it's old. It's already been used. They don't want it. But what they do want is something real and something fresh and something directly from God. Where's that come? We're not going to find it unless we're riding to our destiny. So my challenge again today, it may take change. 2018 is going to be a place of change for some of you. It may take change and it may need some courageous decisions. And I'm talking about, man, you're going to do something. You're going to do something in 2018 that you never dreamed a year ago that you would be doing. But because the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God is working in your life, God is moving and you're ready to ride, he's going to accomplish something you've never dreamed of in 2018. Some of you have been in between the cross. The Holy Spirit is saying to you, time to make a courageous decision. The question was posed to the children of Israel. The man of God said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, let's serve him. If he's not, then let's find one. But that's where we are. Are we going to just continue to try to recreate that old road? Or are we going to say, God, I'm ready to ride. I'm ready for destiny. Can I tell you, now you hear me, your destiny is right now much more important than your history. But I guarantee you, in this room, if we're not careful, we'll spend so much time we'll spend way more time talking about our history than we will our destiny. Because we're not forward-looking people. Oh, God, get us out of that mentality. Get us out of that mentality. Great day. We've got to be forward-looking. We need to quit looking behind. Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not talking about disrespecting your past. I'm talking about stepping out of it. It may mean some courageous decisions, but I want to challenge you to do it. Can you imagine what would happen if a handful of people made the decision that they were going to make a courageous decision to do what God was moving in their life to do. what kind of effect it would have on society and this world around us. Or just, if you want to see how that looks, go back to the book of Acts. And look what happened. 120. On the heels of the ministry of Jesus Christ for approximately 3 years, who had come to faith in him, 120 believers went to another room. They went there with one thing in mind. They went there about the future. Jesus said, I want you to go into Jerusalem and I want you to tarry until you be endued with power from on high. So that I've given you a commission, I want you to go into all the world. I want you to share the good news, the story of Christ, my story. I want you to share it with the whole world. And so they just simply went. 120 went into an upper room. 7 to 10 days later, the Holy Spirit failed. The Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they went out of that room. And that day, Peter gets up and he preaches a message. And 3,000 people were one to Christ. 3,000. And now the witness of the people that knew these men, that knew them before, and now, know them now, these are they that have turned the world upside down. And I tell you this morning, It's our time. Esther's, there's some Esther's out there. There's some Hadassahs out here. God says he's called us to sit together in heavenly places. By the way, there you are, myrtle tree. You've been set in a high place. That's where you find the myrtle tree. On high mountains. Hadassah, but listen, God doesn't have you there to be Hadassah. He has you there to be Esther. He has you there to be the star of your destiny. Don't get comfortable on the mountaintops or the experiences of your faith. That's dangerous. Don't get so comfortable in experience that you forget God has a destiny. With every head bowed, I want you to bow your heads. I want to pray for you. Then I'm going to allow you to join me around this altar. Because I believe today to give an invitation. I told you 2018 is a year of invitation. And I believe the Holy Spirit is inviting us on the road. I believe the Holy Spirit today is inviting you to the road. He said you've been comfortable too long. You've been in a place of control too long. You've been in that place where you have now become so content that you even have become somewhat critical. You become critical of those around you. And the Holy Spirit is saying to you specifically, child of God, I want you to get out of the road. I want you to, it's time to ride. You weren't destined to sit in a crossroad in a place of indecision. You were destined to ride. You were destined to fulfill my plan and my purpose for your life. Father, in the name of Jesus, as I pray over this congregation right now, I pray, Holy Ghost, hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. I pray, Holy Spirit, right now that you would, Lord, just minister to every heart and every life in this room. I pray that you would speak to every heart. That you would challenge every heart. Time to rise. Time to find destiny and purpose. This world that needs Jesus Christ is not looking. They're not looking for past experiences. They're looking for new hope. God, I pray that you would touch us, the church. Pray that you would touch every believer in this house. Pray that you would touch some here, God, that have been where they are for a long time. They haven't moved forward in their Christian faith in years. They've been at the crossroads for years. They love you. It's free. They're grateful for their eternal salvation. but they've been stuck. They've gone nowhere for way too long. God, today is the day of movement. The invitation is before us. Behold, I have set before you an open door, as the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Holy Spirit, you're inviting us to the highway of destiny.
I pray right now
over this congregation. Holy Spirit, that you would speak to someone's heart. God, that when I give this invitation for those who want to move out of a place of indifference, they want to get out of the crossroads, and they're ready to get on the highway to destiny and say, God, I'm ready to move. I'm ready to go forward. They want to move from where they've been for way too long, being frustrated and finding in their own spirit the ability to complain about others. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you raise some people up. In the loving name of Jesus. That's right. I want you to stand with me this morning. Very quickly, if you would stand, and here's the challenge. If you're saying, Pastor Renfro, I'm ready. I've been where I've been way too long. Amen. And I'm going to be first. Can I be first? Well, okay. Can I be first this morning? I'm coming down to this altar, and I'm going to be first with you. And I'm saying to the Holy Spirit, Lord, I'm ready to rock. I don't want to be stuck where I am. I don't want to be stuck in indifference. I don't want to be stuck trying to recreate something from yesterday and the day before. I'm ready to do a new thing that God wants us to do. If you're ready, and here's how I give you the challenge, let's try. I want you to come forward if you're ready to do something here. Listen, I'm not putting any details on that. I'm just saying you just want to get out from where you are. You're tired of being there. You say, Lord, I'm ready to move. I got to go somewhere. I'm not happy where I am. I've got a destiny. I want it. When I give you the challenge, let's try it. I want you to come. I want you to come. I want you to just close your eyes. I want you to picture yourself in that crossroad. Just close your eyes a moment. I'm in the crossroad, Lord. But Lord, I'm ready to rise. I'm ready to go. I don't want to be where I am. I want what you desire for me in my life, my family, my relationship, my home, whatever. I want what you want for me in the days ahead. I'm not going to settle for the past, and I'm not trying to get something somebody else has. I want what you have for me specifically. On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Let's rock. Come on, step out from where you are. Move to this altar very quickly. You say, Pastor, I'm ready to ride. 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 Come on. I'm ready to ride, Pastor. I'm tired of being where I am. I'm struggling with it. Come on. 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 Come on